This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Statistics today indicate our children and young people are heavily challenged with many troubling choices. They are surrounded by so much information, temptations, and consequently decisions at such young ages that sadly so often end in unwanted pregnancies, broken relationships with parents and friends, or life-threatening circumstances that unfortunately can lead to suicide. School shootings, gangs, sexual pressures compounded by the distractions of our culture and dysfunctional families have all led to a lot of hardship for many of our young people today. So stay with us as we explore some questions about how to train our children in this highly developed secular age on today's edition of The Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of The Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I'm going to look at today, what I'm going to discuss, is training a child in the way they should go. And the reason I'm looking at this particular subject today is when I look out in the world today and I look at the state of our children, I see some problems. I see some things that concern me. And I was growing up in the 70s. I was in school. I got out of college in the mid-1980s. And I don't remember anything like the phenomenon we have today of school shootings, ladies and gentlemen. That type of thing just wasn't happening when I was growing up. I think we really got into this at the Columbine Massacre in Colorado. This is about the mid-1990s towards the later 1990s. And since that point up until now, we've heard of school shootings on a regular, consistent basis, over and over and over. Now, Columbine, we had multiple students killed. Many of the shootings I'm talking about are one or two students, but there have been multiple killings in many of these school shootings over the last 20 years or so. Why is this type of thing happening in our country today? When we look at some other things out on the horizon in our country today, we see violent street gangs. And many of these street gangs have members who are young children or teenagers. And we see a proliferation of these gangs today. Now, there have always been gangs, no doubt about it. But the number of children and teenagers who are involved in gangs today is much larger than it has been years ago. We also can look at the world today and look at the sexual mores and norms of our teens today, ladies and gentlemen. If we check out what's on the internet, look at some of the TV shows that are on today, some of the movies that our children are going to, even the games that they play today. I was watching TV recently and I saw a game being advertised and the explicit content that was within that game being shown in that commercial startled me. That our teens and youth are involved in playing these games that are showing them all these things that we didn't see when I was a kid. Why is all this happening? What can we do about it as parents? How can we guard against all of these things that are coming at our children day in and day out? We also look around our country today and we see many dysfunctional homes. We see many one-parent families where a father is missing or a mother is missing. And I'm not here to say that a child cannot become successful after growing up in a one-parent family, but children who grow up in a one-parent family, and the research information is out there, are at a disadvantage compared to children who grow up with both parents at home, both parents there to nurture them and help lead them and train them. So why is all this happening? What does the Bible have to say about it? And what can we do about it? That's what we're going to look at on today's program. Before we go any further on today's program, what I'd like to do is offer you some free literature and also a free CD. The literature we'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Bending the Twig. A child is like a young plant that begins its life tender and pliable, but without proper attention and care, its growth can never reach its full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that our children are just like a plant. We need to be able to work with them continuously, right from the beginning, over and over, just like a young plant or tree. You can bend a young plant or tree in a particular way, and it will grow in that way. But if you don't get to it and it starts to grow older, it's very difficult to bend that tree or plant in the proper way you want it to go. We also want to offer you a free sermon CD by one of the commentators on our program, Mr. Bronson James. The title of this particular CD is Parenting, and Mr. James, Bronson James, will bring you a lot of his ideas and perspectives right from the pages of your Bible on this idea of parenting. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Once again, thanks for joining us on today's program. We're looking at the training of a child, what we need to know as parents. Those of you who aren't parents yet, things you need to be aware of if you're going to have children, what the Bible has to say on training a child. That's what we're looking at today. That's our topic of discussion. And recently I took a class dealing with training children, and I remember one of the things that the teacher of this class said. They said that a child's behavior is an expression of their needs. I'm going to repeat that. I think it's important. A child's behavior is an expression of their needs, and we need to keep this particular point in the forefront of our minds when we're dealing with children. Now, let me explain this. Let's take a baby as an example when we think about a child's behavior is an expression of their needs. A baby has a wet diaper. A baby can't talk, so what does the baby do? The baby begins to cry about this wet diaper. And hopefully the parents are watching out for the baby, and they will go immediately and hopefully change that baby's diaper. The child or baby is now crying because it wants food. It's hungry. So once again, it makes some noise. The parent who should be watching that kid, taking care of that kid, should immediately go and feed that need of the baby for the food and the sustenance that it needs. So what we're talking about here is the child's crying. The behavior is an expression of the need to get changed diaper, the need to be fed. But let's take a child who comes from a dysfunctional home. Let's take a baby who's got a mother strung out on drugs. And she hears her baby crying, but she's not moving to take care of that baby's diaper or to feed that baby because she's high on drugs and is not in a place where she can take care of that need right now. Well, what happens for the baby is eventually it will cry out and stop crying. So let's say the mother eventually gets to feeding the baby or changing the baby's diaper. What's this baby starting to experience as it moves through its early life? It doesn't understand what trust is in a sufficient manner because its mother is acting in a dysfunctional way towards the treatment of her child. And this is something we need to be cognizant of as we begin to deal with children. Children are not adults. They need to be dealt with differently than adults are dealt with. But of course, there are some similarities. Now, when we think about children and raising children, we don't want to be neglectful of our children. What do I mean by neglect? Neglect is not providing food for your children, not providing clothing for your children, not having your children take care of their cleanliness, having a dirty home. And in this particular class, we talked a lot about foster kids and the circumstances they come from. And many of them come from, believe it or not, homes where dog feces or cat urine was in the kitchen or on the floor and things of that nature. This is something that a child should not grow up in, that type of an environment. Many children don't take care of the dental needs of their, many parents don't take care of the dental needs of their children. They don't take them to the doctor once a year to get a checkup. These are other things that lead to neglect of our children. And maybe most importantly, we sometimes neglect the emotions and psychology of our children. Many parents will berate their children, call their children stupid or an idiot, or tell them that they are worthless. If you continue to talk to a child like that, the child will begin to have that particular perspective ingrained on their psyche. They will begin to think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They will live as if they are worthless, as if they are good for nothing, if that is the language you are using for your children day in and day out. We need to be cognizant of this before we become parents and have an awareness of how we need to treat our children and not be neglectful of our children. There's a scripture I want to show you. It's over in the book of Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. It relates to what we're talking about today. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, we're going to talk about discipline a little bit later, but notice the key part I want to get out of this verse. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you neglect your child, if you don't give your child attention, if you don't give your child your time, the child will bring shame to you because it's going to look for that attention. It's going to look for that connection somewhere else. And it may be somewhere else you don't want them to go. Please do not neglect your children. I want to talk a little bit about discipline now and disciplining our children. Again, this is a very controversial matter in our politically correct society in which we live today. But if you believe the Bible, if you believe it's God, if it is God's Word, what does God's Word say about discipline? I want to look at a couple scriptures that address this subject when it comes to child discipline over in the book of Proverbs 13. And Proverbs is a great place to go to look for some tidbits on how to parent your children. In Proverbs 13, in verse 24, it says this, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, there may be a time for corporal punishment for our children. Now, I'm not talking about abuse. There's a difference between abusing your child and meting out corporal punishment in a proper manner with your child. There are ways to get your child's attention with punishment that is not abuse, and you need to understand that distinction, and we'll bring that up in a few moments. But notice another scripture in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 19 and 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." While there is hope, folks, If we don't get with our children while they're young, folks, once they start acting out as teenagers, they may be lost. The most impressionable ages for a child are 0 to 5. We've got to be able to give them certain punishments if they aren't staying within boundaries in the correct fashion for that age range, ladies and gentlemen. But God's word is clear that children who are not punished may become wild children, ladies and gentlemen, and start to do things that bring shame upon that family because the parents weren't there from the beginning trying to create those boundaries and teaching those children the proper things they needed to know. One other scripture in Proverbs, over in Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Listen to this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This doesn't mean that kids can't goof around or have fun, but what it's saying is that sometimes children can go too far, can do things they shouldn't be doing, and there comes a time, common sense will tell you, the Spirit of God working in you will tell you when that time comes. And of course, we want to talk to our children first. We want to try to do things without going to punishment, corporal punishment, but we want to use that as a last resort because it is sometimes needed. The Word of God is clear. Corporal punishment is sometimes needed with our children. But I want to make this clear also, and please hear me on this. Corporal punishment is different from abusing your children. We're not talking about breaking bones. We're not talking about bruising your children. We're not talking about drawing blood from your children. That is abuse, ladies and gentlemen. Recently, we've become familiar with the case of Adrian Peterson, the star running back of the Minnesota Vikings, and some pictures of the backside of his 4-year-old son were shown via the media throughout the United States. And you could see the welts, you could see the blood that had been drawn from this little 4-year-old child. That is abuse, ladies and gentlemen. We are not suggesting that that is the type of punishment we should mete out upon our children. We're talking about a little slap to the hand of a young child. We'll get their attention. We're talking about maybe using the back of the hand to the rear end of your child. Once again, this is not abuse. This is not going to bruise. This is not going to harm your child. And if you're a large man, if you're a powerful man, you need to be aware of how hard you should meet that punishment and not do it in anger, because there's a danger when you do it in anger that you can go further than you should go. But please understand, we're not talking about abusing children. God is clear, though, that corporal punishment is one means we can use to try to correct our children and lead them in the proper path in their lives. Another thing that I'd like to discuss when we look at this particular subject is sexual abuse of our children. And I say this because our children go off to school. Our children go over to friends' houses. And sometimes we don't know what's happening with our children. And this is very important, folks. We need to be aware of some signs that our children may have suffered from sexual abuse. And the reason we need to become aware of it is we can do more to correct what has happened if we are made aware of it now rather than later. The sooner we can deal with our children's abuse from somebody else, the better it's going to be for that child than if that child internalizes it and doesn't talk about it and doesn't deal with it. Statistics tell us that 1 in 3 girls before the age of 18 have suffered some sort of sexual abuse. 1 in 3, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's not just rape. That could be fondling and things of that nature. But 1 in 3 suffer some form of sexual abuse, according to some statistics, before the age of 18. So what should we be looking for if we're parents? Well, here are some of the signs to look for. If a child below the age of 12 does some of these things, it might be something you need to have a conversation about. And what I'm talking about is this. a preoccupation with sexual themes. In someone who's under 12 years of age, if they have a preoccupation with sexual themes, that could be a sign of some abuse. If they get involved in explicit conversations on a regular basis and they're under the age of 12, that's something you need to have a conversation about. If they have a precocious sexual knowledge beyond their years, so a 12-year-old, 11, 10-year-old, if they have knowledge beyond those years, and today it's hard to determine what isn't natural for a child at that age with the proliferation of this information on the internet. But it's something that you need to deal with if they're below 12 years of age. You need to talk to your children, listen to them, find out what's going on in their minds, and then deal with that particular subject. Don't hide from the discussion on sexuality. Let it come from you rather than the street, rather than their friend, rather than the internet or movies or TV. You have a responsibility as a parent to deal with these issues with your children. Another very important thing to keep in mind when you're dealing with children is to guard from them experiencing trauma. Now, trauma is going to occur. If a child lives in a home where a tornado occurs or a hurricane, that is traumatic, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to immediately talk to our children when they experience something like that. But physical abuse, serious physical abuse, serious sexual abuse, these are traumatic events for children. And the sooner we begin to discuss these things, get counseling for our children, talk about the feelings that the child has around these particular things, the better it will be for that particular child having a normal life as they move forward in their particular life. The expectation that they have when they go through a trauma is that this is going to happen again and again and again. And this begins to become part of their subconscious or their unconscious mind, where they're expecting this type of trauma to occur. In going to this training that dealt with foster children, we find that many of these children that come from dysfunctional families have this traumatic sense about them, that they think things are going to go bad and things are going to stay bad on a regular basis. And that's why it's difficult for people to deal with foster children at times, because of the trauma many of these children have experienced. When we look at all that we've been talking about so far today, I find a correlation between a lot of these things and the psychologist Abraham Maslow, who talked about a hierarchy of needs that humans have. Now, he wasn't specifically talking about children, but just listen to some of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and relate it to what we've discussed on our program today. At the bottom level, Maslow said that people need to have their needs, their physical needs taken care of, the need for food, the need for shelter, and we talked about not neglecting those needs for our children. The second level need that Maslow talked about was a need for safety. And once again, we talked about that causing trauma to children will lead to bad things in the future for those children. The third need that Maslow talked about was a need to belong, a sense to belong to something. And when we look at many of our children getting involved in gangs, why are they going to gangs, ladies and gentlemen? Why don't they stay with their family and listen to their family? Well, for many reasons, but primary reasons are their family isn't there for them like the gang may be there for them. And they're looking for that love, that sense of belonging that they don't have in other areas of their life. Maslow then mentions self-esteem, the need to feel that you matter. And again, when we don't spend time with our children, when we don't talk to our children, they will feel they don't matter, because their parents are the most important people in their life. They're the people that are there for them every day, or should be there for them every day, and can create good self-esteem within those children. The final point that Maslow makes is a need for self-fulfillment. It's also called self-actualization. And what he's saying in this need, that you find something in life that is higher, that is beyond just you and the needs that you have in life. This is your passion in life. This is your career or whatever is really important to you in life, that you discover something like that and try to achieve goals around that. Now, when we think of children, it may be hard to determine their self-actualization or their particular passion in life because they're so young. But here's what we can do with children that can help them in that arena. We can encourage them. We can explore what they like to do. Right now, my daughter is into these little figures called little ponies, and she likes to play with them. And I get involved in playing with her with those little toys because it lights her up. It excites her that I get involved in playing that game with her. Also, spending time, just spending time with your children will do wonders for your relationship with your children. Also, help them express their feelings and let them know that you understand their feelings. I was telling my daughter one day that I understood what she was saying, and she says, "No, you don't. No, you don't." So I took another minute to listen to the nuance she was trying to bring to me, and I finally got it and replied back to her affirmatively that I now understood, and I was able to explain to her what I thought I understood, and she acknowledged that I finally understood it. You also have to help your children relax and have fun, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, they are children. Don't throw all the homework and books on them. Don't try to make them lawyers or doctors. Let them go at their own pace. Help them with their homework, of course. Help them learn how to read. But don't burden them with too much of this work. They need to have fun. They are children. One other thing I'd like to say in regard to all of this is you hear a lot of debate today about proper role models for our children. People talk about criticizing athletes and politicians, saying these are not good role models for our children. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a parent, you need to be a role model for your children. Don't expect society to do this for you. You've got to take care of business. And don't forget, on today's program, we've offered you some items that can help you take care of that business. We want you to get Bending the Twig, and we also want you to get that free Sermon Link CD by one of our presenters, Mr. Bronson James. The title of it is Parenting. To get both those items free of charge, call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or if it's easier for you, go to our website, www.cgi.org. www.cgi.org. So long for now, friends.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.